master debater.
A masturbator?
Actually, I always went fishing a lot with my dad. And
you masturbated?
Yeah, where's this story going? I'm already uncomfortable.
That kind of worked, though. It's fishing. Well, you're a masturbator.
Well, this is that was the punchline, and I would go on the boat. But I'm 13, and my dad's walking around going, I'm the masturbator. And he's, like, hooking my line to everyone in front of the fishermen.
Oh, so you're the minor baiter.
I'm the minor baiter. Wow. Yeah. Well, if you saw our sizes, I am the minor baiter.
So creepy.
Why do you know that?
Some of the shit that comes out of your mouth.
Welcome to Pod Thingy, where the geeks meet over drinks to discuss the latest in pop culture. Join the rock star, the author, the outlaw, and the nerd girl for Pod Thingy. Yay!
Woo! Welcome. This is Pod Thingy. We're in part two now of our San Diego Comic-Con 2014 coverage.
Comic-Con Thingy.
Part two, the sequel.
Comic-Con 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There you go.
Comic-Con Thingy.
So, I'm John, and I'm joined today by...
Tracy.
Hayden.
Your mama.
Also known as Blaine. And we are in beautiful downtown San Diego, California. And
it is quite lovely, actually. I forget that San Diego is a beautiful city.
It is a beautiful place. It just happened to be, you know, just happens to be horribly humid for about 2 weeks of the year.
And, during Comic-Con.
That's the time that we're here. So we should get started with a drink. I think that's probably a good place to start. We
don't do that often.
I know. I think we never
change,
you know,
it
considering
up.
The name of the show was going to be Grinks with Deeks. And, Anyhow, we're continuing with themed drinks. And this one is kind of creative if you're going to play along at home. I'll give you the... you okay over there, Tracy?
Yeah, what am I?
She's swaying a little bit.
She seems to be going to sleep over there.
I'm just observing.
She's not participating this round. She's just observing this time around.
Deep thoughts with Tracy.
The drink of the week this week is called the Green Fury, a.k.a. You Won't Like Me When I Drink This. And in the drink is 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce Midori, Sprite to fill almost to the top, and then you add a splash of sweet and sour, and this is the tricky part. 1 teaspoon of powdered lime jello mix. And mix that all together. Make sure you get it really stirred up. And I think it's quite good.
Hayden, you found that really fascinating.
I was. Well, I was thinking liquid jello or powdered jello.
Yeah, no, it's powdered jello. It's I just needed something. I thought,
I was going to try to do
that would be an interesting way to go.
I was going
to
try to do my Bill Cosby impression, but,
Do you do one?
That's like Fat Albert.
So Bill Cosby doing Fat Albert?
Give me some Jell-O. Jell-O. Yeah.
What? That was just creepy.
Is that weird?
Oh my god. Yeah. So the answer is that you don't.
Right? I don't. Yes, I.
That was the worst.
When you get asked if you have a Bill Cosby imitation, you say no.
Awesome. It's awesome.
All right. So cheers, everyone.
Skull. The
Green Fury. There
Green
we go.
Fury. I'm getting angry.
That's got some kick to it.
It's tangy.
Yes. All righty.
Well, then.
So, we talked about some of the big stuff last episode. But obviously we've been out here. There's long days.
Long lines.
This is my first time at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
I'll start that again.
Come and go.
This is my first time at San Diego Comic-Con. And I shocked by a couple of things. It's very crowded here. There's a few people. there's a lot of people in a very small space.
It takes over the city. The trains are wrapped in ads. The buses are wrapped in ads.
I'm wrapped
There's
in ads.
There's ads lining the buildings. Yeah. I mean, it literally becomes
the
a comic
cans.
Book town. It's yeah. nuts to look at.
I mean, no, it's the entire town stops.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it becomes every
streets are closed, you know.
All the yeah, waitresses and bartenders in costume, yeah, everybody.
They're all the food specials and drink specials are all Comic-Con themed. Everyone's trying to pull you in and everyone's trying to hand out flyers and
shuttle drivers become tour guides.
Yeah.
It's yeah, nuts. It's and by the way, as a little bit of a tangent, how much money has HBO spent here? It feels like every other bus has Game of Thrones.
Oh, that was a great
it.
Point you mentioned. Like, we're not going to see anything from Game of Thrones until March.
Yeah, it's like Game of Thrones just ended its, you know, season four, and they're not.
Haven't seen much Game of Thrones. I've mostly seen.
Oh, what?
You're crazy?
I haven't. I've almost entirely seen Leftovers.
Yeah, there's a lot yeah. of Leftovers.
No, it's honestly, if
there's a lot of Leftovers.
Who's going to eat them all?
I've completely missed the Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
ads.
Wow. Everywhere.
Really,
Gotham. I've seen Gotham everywhere.
All you had to do, honestly.
Open your eyes.
Open your eyes. Yeah. yeah.
It's all good. Men must all die open. With a big crow.
The crow. It's. Everywhere.
I think that happened right around the time that you were like hyperventilating from the sun and the running and
sun has really been awful. Yeah. The mugginess. That's
yeah.
been
yeah, it's been
never I mean I'm from San Diego obviously. I live here, but I don't remember it being this muggy. It's like 66% humidity.
Well, it's because horrific. It's because half the world has converged on your city.
It's bringing their body
and brought all their funk with it.
220,000, I think, is the number I heard that converge
we
on San Diego.
Have actually become the whale's vagina.
Wow, wow,
that's a little warm one.
It's a little moist.
It's warm apple pie.
The
and smelly.
We the first day I. You know, because I've been to many cons, and I feel like I know what I was going to expect, and you know, there are some things that were exactly what I was expecting, just on a larger scale. But what I wasn't anticipating that first day is how we were going to be outside so much, and I thought I'm going into the convention center, and then I'm going to be in an air conditioned building for the rest of the day. And
good luck with that.
Yeah, and I didn't bring a hat, I didn't bring sunscreen, and then all of a sudden we're outside, and there's like Gotham City set up, and the Godzilla set up, and there's people all
Simpsons.
Over the place, and Simpsons. Yeah. It has grown so far out of the.
It's so much as in the Indigo Ballroom and the Hilton.
Yeah, it's just you're walking, and you need to get food. You don't want to eat the crap that they're serving inside, so you walk down into the gas lamp, and there's no shade, and.
Well, it's an event that's very much now catering to the people who can't even get into Comic-Con.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where all these events you see outside.
Right.
It's
right.
Like the nerd HQs and where you can try to get your, you know, even those go quick. But
well, yeah, there's stuff everywhere.
Everywhere that you can just go into.
Yeah. So that was a harsh lesson for me to learn that first day is you bring sunscreen and bring a hat. And the other thing is there are lines for freaking everything. I mean, what baffles me is that you can literally walk up to people and go, what line is this? And they don't know.
Yeah.
People just, they're like Pavlovian about getting in. They see a line forming and they're frantic to get into it.
It's like a pack mentality.
It is.
Yeah. Or sheeple. People turn into sheeple.
There's a line to get into the friggin' Legos thing.
Right.
To buy Legos.
Yeah.
I peeked in there. There was Legos.
And yeah. Did they yell at you for peeking your head in there?
No, because it was, I mean, it's fairly open, but there's this long ass line. Yeah. I was just kind of looking in. I'm like, I was expecting like a fortune teller. No, like a Lego Andy Garcia to be there that everyone wanted to see. You know, like yeah, that talks.
That would be a huge draw.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah. I know. I'd be in that line. But you know what I'm saying?
Wait. Is this the place with the Andy Garcia?
Yeah.
Oh, it's down? Okay.
Okay. I'll go.
Is there a little
down.
Siamese twin attached to its shoulder?
Wow, that is an obscure reference. That is so. Okay.
You totally Hayden'd.
It wasn't.
By Hayden, I mean you brought everything to a standstill.
Is that what is the actual definition of Hayden?
I think a Hayden is when everyone goes, what the
no.
fuck?
No, a Hayden wasn't when people go, what the fuck? A Tracy is when everything comes to a standstill and there should be a cricket sound.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
All right.
This is why you are BFFs.
Well, I like it that I have a verb attached to my name.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
You have become a verb.
I've verbed.
Excuse you.
Yeah.
A verb off.
Yeah.
So yeah, just lines everywhere.
No, and then the people who run the lines don't know what the lines do.
No, one knows anything.
No one knows. I mean, there's I was in a line for something, and I don't even know what it was. And there was two people saying, this line wraps this way, but they go, no, this line wraps the other way. Two people arguing that had the collared shirts on that should know what they're doing, but they're...
Yeah.
I missed the Star Trek 50th anniversary panel because the girl didn't know what was going on the line. I mean, me and all the people behind me, we were so pissed because all these people were getting into the line, the correct line.
And that's probably one of the main reasons why you came here.
It was a huge... I really wanted to go to that. They had told us just a few minutes before, this is the line. And then she came back later and said, this is not the line. So I went and found her and she was like, no. And all these people had jumped in and we didn't get in.
There's like this incredible arbitrary... herding of people that goes on.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like I got into a building. I was trying to meet Tracy and her friend Darcy. I was trying to get upstairs. I knew exactly where I needed to be. I'm walking through the downstairs space and I see the escalator that I need to get on to go upstairs, and they've got it now.
You can't go that way.
Cordoned off. And they said you can't exit this way. And I said, that's great, because I don't want to exit. I want to go on that escalator. I'm not exiting. And they're like, no, you can't come this way. And there's a part of me that just wants to scream at them, why? There's no reason why I can't get on that escalator.
It's right there. Well,
and
instead, I have to go all the way back, like, you know, a block and take another escalator and then come back.
Because like a minute before, one was like, dude, I'll give you $10 if you can make this guy turn around and go the other way.
But they were turning everybody around. But it's so arbitrary.
Well, yeah. And everybody's walking. Everybody's walking. Everybody's moving. And they're like, walk. Don't stand still. Keep walking.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're stay like, off the gray carpet.
We are walking.
Yeah, there's people in front of us. We're walking as fast as we can. Right. Yeah. You know, walking, it's especially in the exhibit hall, it becomes really more about waddling. You know,
yeah.
you totally waddle. I never thought of it that way before.
You just rock back and forth until you get where you need to be.
I gotta say, one of my favorite moments of today, though, and it was during that time where we were getting yelled at to stay off the gray carpet. You know,
right?
We got like 10 people in that one area, this one chunk of area, going, keep walking. It's like right in my ear. But I'm walking along, and this guy in front of me sort of like stepped over. He got freaked out by the bellowing or something and got in my way. So I, in turn, went to my right and bumped into somebody. And I went to turn to say, I'm sorry. And it was this venom with this fucking tongue out to my right here. Fucking shit, all like it's a gigantic thing. And I was like, I'm really, whoa. You know,
That's not unusual.
And then I just giggled like a little girl because I was like, that was awesome.
It is inevitable at some point I'm going to end up bonking heads or accidentally kissing somebody because I have Mama Jedi with me and I'm very protective. I'm constantly looking back to make sure she's there, and I turn around and somebody's face is an inch away from my face, and I'm just like, whoa, like, where did you come from?
Yeah, people don't like to walk here. I am used to going. I know what I want to go. I walk there with purpose.
Point A to B.
Yeah.
Direct point.
There's a lot of ambling. There's some sauntering. There's some meandering. There's little actual walking of, you know, with any sort of intention. And that drives me crazy.
There is a lot of stopping suddenly in the middle of the walkway. And,
yeah. To check cell phones or to turn around or change course or just to stop for no particular reason.
And you know what? A lot of it is the nature of the beast. I mean, how much of this can really be? I mean, things are going to be out of control when you get
right
this gathering large.
You have right. They've overgrown themselves, and you can tell there's not a lot of communication between different. I mean, I think certain people know what their task is in that moment, but overall, I don't think there's a lot of cohesion.
Yeah. It's overwhelming for everybody. The people who are coming, the people who are working it, the organizers. It's just.
Yeah, if it goes off script, they're just a deer in headlights.
Yeah. But all that being said, I have enjoyed the experience. I don't know that I would come every year or do it exactly the same way. I feel like, you know, the very first day we waited, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours for that Battlestar Galactica panel. And I sat there and about 45 minutes in, I was getting uncomfortable. And I thought, I can't be one of those people that sits in a hall all day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be pretty close to making me want to commit Harry Carey. So knowing that I'm not a huge fan of masses of people, and I'm not a huge fan of lines, and I'm not a huge fan of sitting in the same seats all day, this is probably not my nirvana.
But another great perk?
Yeah.
Boobs.
A lot of boobs.
A lot of boobs.
You know, and I was going to say, it is like nerd Mardi Gras. It is.
Nerdigra.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. It's one of the most stressful, most daunting, most awesome things I do ever.
It seems
year.
Like a love-hate kind of deal.
It's a love-hate. There's some good experiences. Sometimes those will define the week. Like, you'll look back at it and go, oh, I got some bad things, but God, this was cool, and I was glad to be part of it. And one of those things was with Tracy. earlier. This is the first year I've got press for Comic-Con, and we got to go to a cosplay contest in the Petco Interactive Park, and Norman Reedus and Greg Nicotero from Walking Dead were judging a cosplay contest, and we were literally on the stage. I mean, what was the comment you said? Whose crotch was in your face?
I said Norman Reedus's crotch was literally a foot away from my face.
Yeah. That was the moment
and
of her
then
week.
Later, and so I posted that on Facebook, and then later it was actually closer to my face. Like, I kept getting, like, you know, Norman Reedus crotch in my face.
Maybe he was trying to tell you something.
A little something. Did he? He kissed you.
Well, he kissed my hand.
That's you. Isn't that part of you?
He kissed my hand, and then he took another picture with another girl, but I was still staying there, and he reached over and, like, grabbed my shoulder.
Did he show you his crossbow?
No. Very nice.
Incredible. Yeah. These are cool guys. And in fact, I put a little pod thingy request in for them.
I would be disappointed if he didn't.
Yeah, I asked nicely. I tackled them both to the ground, shoved the swag in their pockets, and said, let me know if you want to be on the show.
And before he was carried away by security, he got a soft commitment.
Yes.
I feel like Greg Nicotero and I share a Star Trek bond now.
Yeah. Yes. They asked of their franchises, what did they prefer?
And he gave me a thumbs up, and I did my little, like, Star Trek, like, gang sign thing, and he was like, and so then when Norman Reedus was talking, he was like, oh, no, I think I'm, like, kind of leaning towards Star Wars, and Greg, nudged him and pointed at me and said, she likes Star Trek, and Norman Reedus was like, but, you know, I like the old Star Trek.
Well, wait. Let me
that was
back
a pretty
up.
Good imitation.
Yeah, let me back up a little bit.
And then I did my gang sign again.
he actually looked at her boobs. There was a 10-second stall. He paused.
Did he really?
He lost his track of it. He was like, yeah, so I do like the old,
you know,
Star
for
Trek.
Those all like anything you want, honey.
Okay, first of all, he was wearing sunglasses, so I don't know how you could know that. Second of all, the font of the Nerd Harder on my shirt is
it's really hard to read. You really need to stare at it.
What does it say? Oh, I see what it says.
What does it say on your shirt? Nerd.
I think it says harder. Wait, hold on. Let me. But I think it says Nerd Harder.
I'm sorry. What does your shirt say? I've been staring at it for about 5 minutes.
I'm pretty sure. Right now, from what I can tell, it says Nerd Harder.
No, I'm not giving Norman a hard time. I'm just saying I would have stared at it too.
It's in Star Trek font, not like a Star Wars font. So I'm just saying.
Oh, that's what you're just saying.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But if Norman just wants to look at my boobs, that's okay too.
And they did say that they would come on if they listen. They get to this point. They may listen to the first 30 seconds of episode one.
Everybody liked the idea of drinking.
Yeah. I told them drinking. They're all, oh,
dude, that's awesome. We're in. Yeah. We're there.
No, the problem is their schedule because they're in the middle of filming.
Well, yeah. That's damned inconvenient of them.
I know.
Very damned.
So what else?
Mine's not as excited as a panel, but I was really stoked to find this booth. Like, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a DVD for a movie I hadn't seen since I was a kid. It's called Without Warning. Mm-hmm. And it was in the theater. It was one of those movies where it would flash red 3 seconds before something graphic would happen. And then it was generally blood and guts and crazy mayhem.
Wow.
And it's never been available on DVD. And I saw it and went running over to these people and were like, what the fuck? And they're like, I know, what the fuck? And
and we don't know either. It's crazy.
And then right next to that, they were also releasing, Blu-ray versions of Phantom of the Paradise and Motel Hell. And
Motel Hell was one when I was growing up.
Oh,
I mean,
my
that
God.
Was,
that movie is
It was one of those things. I remember I had my parents had On TV.
There was On Select and Z Channel.
Yeah. Yep. And I would stay up late so I could watch Motel Hell. Oh, yeah. You know, because that wasn't one I was supposed to watch. It was a little too graphic, you know.
That was pretty crazy for its time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know the plot of Motel Hell, it's about a motel where they take the people that check in and they plant them in the back and they take out their vocal cords so they can't scream.
They put little bags over
their
heads.
They put their bags, so they're literally planted in the earth. They put their bags over their heads and then they make them into food.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty really crazy. Cool.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's a total, you know, D movie.
Killer dude's got like the chainsaw and the pig head.
Yeah, he wears a pig head. Boar head. It's awesome. It's one of those.
But to see these things I haven't seen in forever was just awesome. Yeah. And then got to talk to them for a while. And
oh, very cool.
I think this is different, but I think they were shoutfactory.com. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to going through there.
You liked them so much you wanted to plug them.
Huh? I did, yeah.
They also had the whole
Pee-wee's Playhouse. The entire every episode.
It wasn't out, so you couldn't buy it today, but they were
the entire Halloween box set.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why she was going to contact you? I was wondering about that. She was like, oh, we'll contact you. She just
thought
it
was cute.
Oh, that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Yay.
Yeah.
By the way, another one that has never been out on DVD and it's coming on DVD and Blu-ray is Batman 66 series. Adam West, I sat in on that panel.
Yeah, I wanted to make that panel and I was very jealous. So what's the scoop?
The Batman movie was available. It's been on Blu-ray and it's been on DVD. And the TV series has never been available on home video. And this
because
is
of rights issues, right?
Rights issues, exactly. And for the first time, they remastered the whole thing. They were showing us a side-by-side video of the original TV broadcast and the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly clean. The colors are rich and they're saturated. And so many extras. They do a lot of the behind the scenes. And outside of that, and they have a limited edition with the like a Batmobile and a couple extra little things. They'll have the regular set and then they have like the ultra limited thing to get a couple extra bucks out of you. But it was really neat seeing Adam West and Julie Newmar and Burt Ward were all on the panel. And
nice.
Burt Ward gained a couple pounds.
He's gotten a little large, I've seen.
Yeah, a little large in the waist. But funny, he told some great stories.
I think they call that husky.
Husky, yeah. He's big bone.
Yeah.
Adam West is hilarious. I mean, he's like,
I love that guy.
He's like William Shatner. He's got that iconic voice, you know, when they talk. And it's really funny. And he's getting up there. He's not a younger guy. And him and Julie Newmar, it was almost like I was kind of sitting in on a panel at the senior community, like with them going back and forth. Nothing against them. They were hilarious. They were really funny. But, you know, just kind of the old couple bickering type of a thing.
Yeah.
And I love the series. I grew up watching the repeats on TV. I was born a little bit after that. But I just loved it. And he's, you know, Adam West, they're so fond of it. You know, they loved it and they love the fans. And so I'm excited for it. And it's actually something I probably get my parents. I know my dad was big on that, you know, back in the day. And it's kind of, he's the original Batman. They gave him a lot of credit for where the franchise is today as far as, it, you know, in film and TV.
Sure. Oh, good.
Did he have a scowl painted on his forehead?
No, he did not have the scowl. But, you know, and even watching the replays, God, he's like, we did this for the adults, but the kids loved it too. You know, this was just like so satirical. Yeah. We did this super satirical. And some of the great actors that worked on that show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was interesting. They were comparing it to some of the other TV of that time. And they said this was kind of the original launching of superhero on TV. So
it was definitely groundbreaking. I mean,
for the time it was.
I was bummed I missed that panel. Mm-hmm. And then the other one you went to that I was really bummed that I missed was the Evil Dead. I don't think it was specifically about Evil Dead, but
no,
Sam Raimi.
That was actually before The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones. They brought the surprise panel. It was like a mystery panel, like grab bag. You don't know what you're going to get. Yeah. And Evil Dead TV series. Sam Raimi said that they're working on it with Bruce Campbell. So
his show just ended. The one that he was in,
Burn Notice. Burn Notice.
Yeah, so that was an interesting, and that was new news.
New news.
Yeah, and it completely, obviously nothing's been officially announced, but it goes in the face of all the rumors that I've been hearing that seem to be pretty legit, you know, that they were going to be doing another, you know, basically an Army of Darkness sequel.
And then an Evil Dead 2.
Right, and then they would eventually come together.
Yeah.
Here, you know, that's obviously, you're hearing it from the horse's mouth. Yeah. But
he did mention that sequel as well, that they are working on it. So,
this is an addition. That's a lot of Evil
weird.
Dead.
Weird.
Yeah, it is just a lot of Evil
unless
Dead.
unless it's like something completely different, sort of like how the Friday the 13th TV series was completely different.
Yeah,
than
or
series.
Like an anthology or something.
Yeah,
it's odd.
That is,
weird. And what kind of network does this go on? Because we want it pretty graphic, right?
Well, you
Evil
think.
Dead, yeah. So
you
it's
do
not
like FX or.
Well, if it even got that mainstream
AMC, I mean,
or maybe it's a Netflix show.
Oh.
Who knows?
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
There's a lot more. I mean, Community got
Yahoo
got a last minute save, mm-hmm. and
I could hear you screaming from across two counties.
I'm
I love Community.
I love my Community.
#6 seasons in a movie.
Yes, there you go. And
you didn't get to go into that panel now, did you?
No. You know what? I kind of made a decision to avoid that panel. Mm-hmm. Not that I wouldn't have loved to seen it, but I didn't want to wait in the line. I had just seen the Community panel at the Paley Fest in Los Angeles.
Nice.
So
oh, those are way better anyway.
It's longer. There's more
intimate,
to it. And it was. So I figured I just had seen them do it, and they literally just got this pickup. So it's not like they're going to have a ton of new information about, you know, the sixth season.
Yeah.
So
I know. By the way, the only thing better than Tracy's boobs is Annie's boobs, I think.
Annie, I don't watch the show, so I'll have to take your word for that. Yeah. Okay.
It's Alison Brie plays Annie, and there's a lot of references to Annie's boobs, so including things being named after them. So
we can name yours.
Mine already have names.
This is new information.
Yeah, no more Comic-Con talk.
I think most of my body parts have names. Actually,
okay.
What are the names?
Righty and Old Lefty.
That's incredibly uninspired. Go on. And why does Lefty get an old moniker?
That's why I thought it was funny. I don't know. It gets random for no reason.
All right. Go on.
I wanted like Laurel and Hardy or, you know, Stuart Little.
Electronica.
If you want me to go into my other body.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
All right.
In high school, I was in the theater department. I was sitting on the edge of the stage. My friend Paul like leaned backwards, not knowing I was right above him. And he goes, "Oh, Betty." So ever since then, my vagina has been Betty. And then somebody else was like, "Oh, it's Betty." Well, then the other one is Boop. So it's Betty and Boop.
I have a question. I do have a question before you.
It seems like a golf clap.
It's an appreciation.
So when your friend leaned back, did he lean back into your vagina?
No, I was standing on the edge of the stage, like I directed something.
So he leaned back and was able to look
up.
He
was sitting on the edge of the stage, and he leaned back. I was wearing jeans. I wasn't wearing a skirt or anything.
Oh.
He leaned back, and he just went, "Oh, Betty."
Just like that.
I was going to say, was it like a brown Betty, but I don't want to go there.
Apparently, it was a brown boot.
Brown boot.
Like somebody's going to send me a t-shirt that says Righty, Old Lefty, an arrow saying Betty, an arrow saying Boo.
I learn something new about you every week, Tracy.
And it's usually dorky.
Yeah.
I got names too.
No. What are your names?
No.
Okay, kidding. Guys always name their junk, don't they?
I've never named things myself.
I had a friend that had named it. I think it was more tongue in cheeky than an actual name.
Literally tongue in cheeky.
We'll be here all week, folks. He had named it Mike.
Wait, he named yours Mike?
No,
that's weird.
He didn't name mine. Pay attention. Follow along. He named his Mike, and just so he could say, "Step up to the mic."
Oh,
that's not bad. Okay, but I like it.
Of course, Hayden would like that.
But you've never named yours.
I haven't. No,
you've never named yours.
It's been named.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's been named.
Well, what has it been named? Because all mine have been named. I didn't name any of mine.
Oh, okay.
Body parts, not penises.
Leviathan. You Hayden.
How do I follow that?
I can follow that.
No, I've never named it, and it's never been named. I don't know.
I named my significant others Maximilian Maximus.
Strength and honor.
Max for short.
For short. Oh, wait.
For short. Speaking of Leviathans, they announced Godzilla 2.
There's my nickname. Well done.
There's a lot of talk that it might be Monster Island.
Was that announced at Comic-Con, by the way?
They're confirming the appearance of Rodan, Mothra.
Mothra, Ghidra. But the funny thing about that is Mothra was confirmed at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
The three were confirmed via another source that I don't know.
But I've heard it. I've heard it a couple of places now. It spreads fast.
I totally agree. I mean, Gareth Edwards said that if he gets to do another one, he was going to go to Monster Island.
Yeah.
So he said that's straight out of his mouth.
There's a part of me that wonders if they're jumping ahead too fast.
Right.
Because it's that whole. That Justice League thing where you're throwing all the characters in and like there's some great monsters and do they all get to have their day?
Or maybe it was one of those things where he's like, "Well, if I get to do a sequel, then I'm going to Monster Island." And then all of a sudden the studio came and said, "Hey, Godzilla did great. You're doing a sequel." And he went, "Shit, I get to do a sequel?"
Right.
Oh, shit. I should probably think about this better.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit. We just talked about Community. You know, I was talking with someone about that the other day that they said it felt very chaotic this last season. I said, I think it was the same thing. Like, Dan Harmon knew came, he this might back, be the last right. time he got to do it. So he just wanted to do he wanted to go, you know, balls out and do whatever he could possibly do, all his ideas, and threw them all out there. And it maybe, you know, it was maybe felt a little bit less even than other seasons. But it was still very creative.
Yeah.
So maybe maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe that he's going, hey, I may not get a third one, so let's do this.
Let's say all this stuff.
Yeah, let's
too.
Do it.
Because it would make sense if it turned out where it was just Mothra, if Mothra is in two,
right.
and we actually get a real Godzilla creature this time,
right.
and then they turn around in the third one and do Monster Island.
Yeah, which would be, I mean, they're going to, you know, as long as they make money, they're going to keep making.
Yeah. So. They're going to Monster Island one of these days.
Yeah. Well, and they also announced a King Kong prequel.
Oh, that's right.
Peter Jackson or no?
No. I don't know. Did they? I don't remember seeing Peter Jackson's name attached to it. But no.
Yes, it's Skull Island.
Yeah, they're going to basically do Skull Island before King Kong leaves.
That's because he's going to be too busy directing an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, wait, I heard that too.
What?
Well,
Peter Jackson.
It's
not confirmed.
They confirmed that they're talking to him about it, and he wants to do it, and they just need to find the time because he's finishing up The Hobbit right now. But he wants to do an episode of Doctor Who.
So it'll be 4 hours long and end three times?
Yeah.
And I just nerdgasm.
By the way, did anyone hear about the Hobbit panel?
What's that stupid title again? The Battle of what?
The Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah, stupid.
Instead of There and Back Again, they changed it.
Yeah.
Aw, really?
Yeah, that's the new title is Battle of Five
Armies.
Which,
by the way, in the book, the Battle of Five Armies is like two pages.
I know.
Yeah, so we've got Godzilla coming and King Kong coming. So Andy Serkis is going to be employed for
No shit.
This was not so much a Comic-Con thing, but I did hear this week, and I actually sent this out to everyone, but no one responded to it, so I don't know if you guys saw it or read it, but they announced a Fight Club sequel.
I saw it.
Not in the movies.
No.
Not in the movies. In the Chuck Palahniuk announced the book sequel.
And you said, oh no, right?
I had actually heard about this a long time ago.
He had mentioned it offhand at another convention a long time ago, but now it's literally...
Now it's totally confirmed. Yeah. But he also went in more detail. The first time went into more detail what the story was. It was funny because in that article that you sent, the story that they gave was not nearly as awesome as the first description was, which was straight out of his mouth.
Yeah.
The description of the story is pretty cool. So I actually got excited about it. I know when you sent it, you were like, no.
I just, you know, my thing is when you have a story that you tell and it seems to resolve in a compact, final way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see the arc and you see the theme. And
did you read the book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the book. I like the movie better, honestly.
So do I. But I do. I love the book.
But it feels done. You're into the end of that book and you're like, all right, that was a story that was told.
I agree. I think as a graphic novel, this sequel could be a lot of fun because the story part that I really dig is that, not Tyler Durden, but Ed Norton's character. Well, I mean, what's his
narrator.
Name?
Narrator.
Yeah.
Yeah, narrator, yeah.
Jack.
Yeah. He gets on meds to hold Tyler Durden back.
Uh-huh.
And becomes no fun whatsoever. And him and Marla are married and miserable. And so she figures out a way to make it so he stops taking his meds.
Hmm.
So that sounds kind of...
Doesn't he have a kid and he's like making the same mistakes as his dad?
Well, yeah. That's what the second description brought up. And that brought up like much more adult themes. But the first one
was... Yeah, but that stuff seems to come right from Chuck Palahniuk as well.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed.
So
I don't... So I'm not sure... Maybe he... I don't know. But if
by the way, every time I say his name, I feel like I'm saying it incorrectly.
Well, I always say pluck, nuck, nuck, nuck,
nuck.
I don't know how to say it.
I feel like I need to be, you know, like, fuck it. I just, you ever have a thought that just stops mid?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the time.
It's the same kind of feeling that I get when I hear about, you know, oh, we're going to do a Blade Runner sequel. Why? Stop it.
Yeah, right? The first concept was good.
Yeah,
you
told a story.
I agree.
Not everything needs a sequel. Not everything needs to be a franchise.
I mean, unless there was some burning question in that movie that people want to know about. I don't know.
Did anyone see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. promo video?
We kind of did as we were getting yelled at on the gray carpet.
Yeah.
Really? They were playing it
That's
down
what
there?
They were playing. That's why they were telling us to go.
With Cap's motorcycle in front of the stage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's what they were playing. Yeah, so it's Patton Oswalt. comes out and he does basically an informational video about, you know, security badges and et cetera, et cetera. And then he talks about they basically through that video talk about how Mockingbird is going to be in season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's interesting to me. I mean, because she you know, there was a period of time, and at least in the late 80s, early 90s, where Mockingbird was a, you know, pretty prominent figure in the comics. She was married to Hawkeye, and so, you know, I don't know if they'll keep that continuity, but...
Lucy Lawless is going to be... Yeah. She's cast in the show, not this character, though.
Lucy Lawless is playing Agent Isabel Harley.
Okay.
And I don't really know anything about that character. But then also cast as a new character is Nick Blood, who's playing Lance Hunter, the leader of Strike, which is basically the British equivalent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nick Blood is his real name?
Nick Blood is his real name.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nick Blood.
I think
Nick
that's
Blood.
A common name over there because I have a relative named Blood.
Yeah. Over there in Compton?
He's Irish. No.
Compton. Yeah. It's and Reed Diamond... who's one of Joss Whedon's regulars. He was in Dollhouse and Much Ado About Nothing. He's been cast as the bad guy, Daniel Whitehall, who's a Hydra bad guy, who's known as the Kraken. And I know...
Release the Kraken.
I knew that was coming. And apparently he, you know, this is not something I was familiar with from the comics, but apparently he's the guy that's basically the Hydra recruiter, and he makes people into, like, badasses. The one thing I was kind of disappointed about, especially since Patton Oswalt was doing the, you know, the promo video, I was really kind of hoping that you'd hear that Patton Oswalt was going to be a regular member of the cast in season two.
Yeah.
Because I liked his character on there at the end of season one, and I thought that would be kind of a cool continuation.
Yeah, because there's some mystery as to how he shows up again.
Yeah,
yeah.
If he's a life model decoy or if he's some sort of a clone. So I was kind of hoping that they would announce that Patton Oswalt would be part of the cast for season two.
Well, is that something that's just assumed, though?
Is it, though? Because he wasn't a part of the cast for season one.
I think he's just going to pop in and out.
You think he's just going to be like a recurring guest star?
Isn't he always a special guest star?
They may fast forward in time and not explain it.
The season finale, for one, kind of made it seem like he was going to be around. Like he's now... part of the team, or he's, you know, and that would have been a cool role for him.
Yeah,
you know,
here's a kind of an interesting question. You think that will the events of Guardians of the Galaxy intertwine with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all, or is that going to be a totally different?
There is that blue alien that played a big role in season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Are we assuming it's a Kree?
There was an interview with Kevin Feige where he said, you know, that may or may not be a Kree. Which a Kree is an alien species that it will play prominently in Guardians of the Galaxy. So, I mean, there's certainly an opportunity to cross them over, but I don't know.
I totally agree.
Oh, that was so painful. It really hurt me. It hurt me a little bit. My head.
I appreciated it. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is obviously going to be much more likely to bring in the events of the movies, and the movies are going to bring in the events of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, but it would be nice if they...
It would be really nice because obviously What's-His-Face is now in charge of... S.H.I.E.L.D. and rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D., not Nick.
Well, why isn't Paulson in the movies?
Coulson.
I mean, well,
Coulson is in the movies.
His name is Robert Paulson.
Yeah. You're stuck on Fight Club.
I'm still on Fight Club, yeah. Yeah, why isn't he back in the movies?
Because no one, at least up until the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season one, no one that thought he was dead knows he was alive.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they're gonna bring in the events of Captain Avenger... Captain Avenger. Holy shit. Captain America.
Captain Avenger Widow.
That's it. I'm out now.
It's
the green shit.
Yeah.
If they're gonna bring in the events of Captain America and literally get to a point where they don't, like, you have to have seen Captain America the Winter Soldier in order to watch the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
right,
then why wouldn't Coulson become part of that world?
Well, I think
again.
I think that will be addressed, because especially if he's going to play, you know, a bigger role in the S.H.I.E.L.D. organization, if he's, you know, now been promoted and he's going to be a, you know, a bigger, you know, part of that. Even if it happened off screen, you're going to see someone acknowledge that that he, you know, he's back in action. I personally really like the TV and the movie stuff crossing over, and that's this one big cohesive universe. And I was kind of surprised to hear Geoff Johns, who is acting as DC's chief creative officer, come out and say there was not going to be any crossover between the DC television shows and the movies.
So stupid.
Because DC's a hot mess.
That is so dumb.
Their thing was they want to keep them separate universes, separate properties, so that the creators of the shows and the creators of the movies can kind of tell their own stories and do their own thing. And he even said that at some point on, you know, because you've got this, Flash and Arrow crossover already planned on the TV world. And you've got, you know,
they're building out those characters,
right? And you've got other comic book characters being introduced. They've talked about Captain Cold is going to be a character. Brandon Routh was cast as the Atom, and he even said that at some point you might see Superman and you might see Batman in the TV world, and it wouldn't be immediate, and it wouldn't be like they would be huge characters that would stay around, but you might see them come in, and it obviously would not be Ben Affleck, and it would not be, you know, so it's
but it wouldn't be Tom Welling from Smallville coming in as Superman, right?
I don't know, the whole Smallville thing kind of seemed
they wouldn't go back.
Yeah, it seemed like an island unto itself. I mean, they told self-contained stories and they had people that kind of came in and crossed over, and so I doubt that they're going to be tied to that continuity either.
I spoke with Blake Neely, who's the composer for the Arrow and the Flash.
Yeah,
I asked him about the consistency between these series and the movies and whatnot, and what he'd like to see. He's a big Aquaman fan. And
he's the one.
He's the one. Well, he kind of said he said I'd like to do an Aquaman theme, like a musical composure for it.
I love that this is what the guy is known as. Aquaman fan.
You know what? I have to say, it's easy to bag on Aquaman, but I actually really liked a certain run of Aquaman comics in like the early 90s, that when Peter David was writing it, he was really mixing things up. I think there's a lot of potential in Aquaman. It's just the fact that he's always been kind of like that easily kickable hero, you know?
He's way more awesome than people joke
about. No, that's
the
thing,
though.
He's a very powerful individual, and I think that it's just a matter of like reconceiving him so that people can see him in that way. And the first thing that has to go is the orange and green color scheme, because that's just not threatening.
That could go a little more Wonder Woman-esque.
Golden, golden green.
It's pretty orange.
It's Fred from Scooby-Doo, but in fucking tights.
It's pretty orange. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it gold.
And where I was kind of going with this is just that he was mentioning crossovers into the shows from entities that have movies, like your Superman and your Batman. And he was talking about more getting the licensing for the themes from those movies, but also, he was talking about, there could be appearances potentially of your Batman and your Superman in these TV shows.
Yeah.
And it's like, but then you're not going to, like you said, you're not going to get your Afflecks or.
I guarantee that if they're, well, look, Sam Jackson was in The Shield. Was in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Hill.
I think if I were all of a sudden like, oh my God, Thor has to be on S.H.I.E.L.D. He has to make an appearance on. They're not going to go, you know, with somebody else playing, you know,
right.
Thor.
No, of course not.
They wouldn't do that.
Yeah, Lady Sif, she was on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
They're trying to cross over the Flash and Arrow. I don't watch those shows, but they are crossing them over. But I mean, but that's it. But now you've got like your kind of your pre-Batman universe, which we talked about earlier with Gotham. And it's just like you're not going to be able to cross any of that.
Right.
So it's totally, they got like three different universes. Like we talk about Marvel's universes being semi-split with Fox and Sony and Marvel, but at least it seems like a lot. Marvel's got control of most of it.
Yeah,
and Marvel and DC and ABC are both owned by Disney.
Disney.
Whereas with DC, it's CW, it's Fox. It's
right, and you get a lot of synergy there. That whole Marvel being owned by Disney is opening up a lot of interesting doors, because I mean, obviously you've got the characters now can appear at the theme parks. And the other thing that I thought was interesting that we were talking about is that now Marvel has the license for the new Star Wars comics that are coming out.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's
which
like, not what, shocking.
It just, I mean, we were talking today about how, well, that's obvious, but we didn't think about it.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though, that's where that should live. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but they just announced, what, three
new comic books
that are supposed to take place between
episode 4 and 5,
between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
One is called Star Wars, which I still don't get that.
Yeah.
The other one's Star Wars Darth Vader, and the third one is Star Wars Princess Leia. Star Wars and Star Wars Darth Vader are going to be a continuous series, and Star Wars Princess Leia is going to be a 5-issue mini run.
So it's basically telling stories between the destruction of the first Death Star and the Battle of Hoth.
Yep. That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars, John, you sent an interesting little movie link to us the other day. Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
He poured his soul out to us.
Yeah. He talks about his experience being on the soundstage, visiting J.J. Abrams and looking at the status of the production of Episode 7 as it's going along. And he got kind of emotional, and he talked about stepping onto the full set of the Millennium Falcon. And the way he described it, I have to admit, I kind of got a little choked up.
I was semi-moved. I had a semi.
I got more. Whoa.
When Hayden says he has had a semi, it means he may have felt a twinge of emotion.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't name him yet, but yeah, I had a twinge.
It's Leviathan Jr.
LJ.
It's not that kind of an oxymoron? No.
It is.
It works. It works.
Yeah, government employee.
Yeah, but that was cool. It was cool to hear him talk about it, and you know, kind of losing the cynicism. And
the thing I loved about it, like you said, the way he described stepping foot onto a tangible set of the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. Where I mean, it's like he basically knew where the bathroom was, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking to myself how like. There's a replica of the Millennium Falcon that's not something you can step onto that's going to be in the George Lucas Museum in Chicago. And then Disneyland is going to build a replica in Tomorrowland that you're going to be able to get on. Hmm. And I kept listening to him talking, go, okay, well, I'm never going to get invited onto the J.J. Abrams set, but I will step foot on it at Disneyland. And I will do the same thing.
Yeah.
I will become a crying little 7-year-old.
Yeah,
I really, really liked that video a lot.
Yeah, it gave me hope, you know, and to hear him talk about how things are being shot practically and you're really seeing the sets and you're really seeing, you know.
A new hope?
Ah, you stole it from me, you bastard.
And the other thing that, you know, we're seeing now images of Mark Hamill with his big, you know, grizzly.
His big what? His big lightsaber?
His You're one track, my friend.
His
big grizzly Jedi beard.
He's got his Obi-Wan beard. It looks awesome.
Yeah, and he looks good. He's been obviously getting in shape, and he's trimmed down, and he's got this beard. And man, and then the news that he's basically the same age as Alec Guinness was when he did the first one, that blew me away.
Okay, wrap your head around that for
full
a second.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Wrap your head around that for a second. He's the same age right now as when they were filming Star Wars, as Alec Guinness when they were filming Star Wars.
Isn't that crazy?
That is a trip. Well, it's like that Peter Capaldi is the same age that William Hartnell was when he was the Doctor, but William Hartnell looks so much older.
But I love it. I love the way he looks, and you know that's kind of it feels right. And that's, you know, there's all these weird plot. I don't know if you've read the stuff, the plot details that are kind of coming out, and it's like. Who knows how much of them are complete bullshit? Because they seem weird.
That hand one has to be bullshit.
Right. I mean, there's a rumor that, you know, that the movie, every Star Wars movie opens in space because you've got the scroll and then it either pans up or pans down and you see the action going on. So the rumor was that the first thing you see is a hand floating in space and clutching a lightsaber.
But it was like Luke's lightsaber, wasn't it?
It didn't. I didn't say that.
They did, because once it lands on the planet, which is also a weird factoid. That the two characters find it, take it to Han Solo, and Han Solo says, "That's Luke Skywalker. We should get it back to him."
That's more detail than I saw in the
report. Oh, yeah. No, that's, I think that's all a load of shit.
That sounds a little fanboyish to me. But the other rumor that has been a little bit consistent is that Luke is missing and that he has to be found, and that's kind of the thing that starts our journey.
Episode 7, The Search for Skywalker.
The Search for Skywalker.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, JJ put out a video with the X-Wing in the background.
Yeah, which, by the way, did you pay really close attention to that X-Wing?
Yeah.
You realize that that's not what the X-Wings look like in Star Wars in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
It looks like the concept art. It seems like the early concept art became the future X-Wing.
Interesting.
And what I liked about it is there is something kind of nice about, you know, the prequels are very glossy and shiny and happy.
Yes,
and there's not a lot, which bugs me, honestly.
Yeah, I hate that.
But I do like maybe if they go this way, I will kind of maybe forgive it because, you know, Star Wars really presents this. I mean, when I say Star Wars, the original trilogy really presents this kind of used universe. And if now we're 30 years on and it's even more used, and it feels like that X-Wing was not quite as sleek as the original trilogy.
Let's think about that for a second. I don't I think it is sleeker because it doesn't have the double engines or jets or whatever propulsions. It doesn't have the double like the original trilogy X-Wing. It has the one that splits.
Yeah.
So there's only two on each side instead of four.
And maybe it's just me, but there was something about that video that felt a little bit more like it was a kludge. Like there was, you know, the pieces had been kind of bolted on and, you know, that it had been put back together or from scrap or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, you're 30 years on, you're not driving, not everyone is driving the same car or making, you know, so there's going to be a change in technology or, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah. And that's how I talked myself out of the gloss and the glamour of the prequels was, well, the Rebellion don't have
right.
the funds that the Empire does. So, of course, they're going to be the ragtag team and
right.
with all the, you know, the shit that doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. Which is, you know, and again, if you're still 30 years and you're still fighting that battle, you know, I can see if everything is even more run down, I would like that. I would like that progression. We'll see.
And yeah. I think part of that gloss comes from the CGI. To connect this slightly back with Comic-Con is that when I did one of these events where Greg Nicotero was doing a zombie makeup on stage and showing how he did it. He's a big he does all practical stuff. I mean, he works with digital effects to enhance. So like the things with the zombies, he does full makeup and then he says we do like computer generated with the eyes to make them you know, look
right.
a certain
way.
You
can tell that and obviously the blood, you know.
And some of the blood as well, but he's like, you know, we want to use it to at least give you a real aspect, you know, the close-ups and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and,
which is smart. Yeah. One other rumor that I thought was kind of interesting is that Gwendolyn Christie
from Game of Thrones.
Right.
Brienne of Tarth.
That she may be playing the main bad guy.
Oh,
then,
yeah.
Whoa.
Right. I forgot about that.
And that she...
How awesome is that?
And I think that would be interesting.
She's intimidating.
Yeah. And that she would be some sort of lightsaber-wielding Imperial officer gone dark or something. But I dig her. I think she's a cool actress, so I'm very much looking forward to that aspect of this and seeing what the people that they've cast are going to bring to it. Oh, did you hear about that Big Bang Theory thing?
No.
This blew my mind. Carrie Fisher and James Earl Jones, up until very recently... had never met one another.
What?
I don't know how that's
no
possible.
Way.
Apparently so. They met. They both were in an episode of Big Bang Theory.
It was a great episode. Mm-hmm.
Hilarious.
Yeah. That I guess Sheldon.
It was a Comic-Con episode.
Yeah, it was a Comic-Con. He did his own
with
con.
James Earl Jones. Okay. Yeah. And then they go and they end up like pranking Carrie Fisher's house. Yeah. And
like they did Ring and Ditch or what's it called?
Ding Dong Ditch.
Ding Dong Ditch.
And
Ring and Ditch.
Ring a Ding Ditch. Apparently she walked on the set. They'd never met. And she walked right up to him and went, Daddy or Father. Or something. But I thought, that's great. You know, how could they have never? I mean, I guess it's possible, but wow. You'd think after.
Not even at any convention or anything. Or party or.
Yeah, it seems odd, but
yeah.
Apparently so. So we still have a ton of information to talk about.
Part three?
Yeah, I think maybe we're going to have to go to part three on this. So are you guys cool with that?
I'm cool with that,
I think
yeah.
The third is always the best.
I hear you get to do the weird stuff.
Oh, like in the butt?
And there we go.
I just Hayden'd. Yeah.
I am John Mulhall. I write supernatural thrillers. You can find me online at johnmulhall.com. That's Mulhall. Or on Facebook at Author John Mulhall.
And I'm Tracy. You can find me at hotnerdgirl.com, no www's, and facebook.com/hotnerdgirl.
And I am Hayden. I'm at geekoutlaw.com and facebook.com/geekoutlaw. I'm also a verb.
And I'm Blaine. I'm vocalist for Idiot Stare and Insight 23. And you can find me at Facebook or Twitter at iBlaine or idiotstare.com.
And you can find all of us at podthingy.com or email us at geeks@podthingy.com if you have questions, comments, if you want to tell us how much we really suck.
Or how awesome we are.
Or good stuff, too. But honestly, most of the emails we've been getting are very positive, and that's cool.
You ass kissers.
But you know what? Mix it up. Tell us what's what.
Don't hold back on Hayden.
Especially me.
If you've got issues with Hayden, we want to hear about it. Send all commentary to geeks@podthingy.com.
Or if you want to rename Tracy's boobs.
Oh, we should have a contest. Yeah.
You know why? Because they really do need to be renamed. Betty's all right. Boop's interesting, but
yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't Veronica.
Hey,
she was the dirty whore, wasn't she?
Okay, so we at some point in the future we will have a contest to name Tracy's boobs.
I like it.
In the meantime, we're gonna have another drink, and we'll see you all next.
Here's
week
to the green shit
hey,
for Comic Con Part 3.
This has been an episode of Pod Thingy. Join us next time for more geekery and nerdism.